a super information state, right? And it sets an example for the rest of the world to follow. And even the Prime Minister of Iceland voted for this. Because you see, it passed unanimously in Iceland. 50 people in their parliament, including the Prime Minister. And I want to make this... Thank you. I want to make this totally clear. This is not just WikiLeaks. This is a lot of people. And this is extremely important, I believe, because Iceland is acting in solidarity with the idea that you have the right to know what's going on, that history shall not be erased, that when things take place, that we will note them, and that we will show them. And that when a big corporation who has a lot of money, or when a government that has a lot of guns, says that you're going to pretend that it didn't, well, we're not going to stand and take that, and Iceland has decided that they also are not going to. It's not finished, in that they're going to go through several more rounds and re-vote on it again. But the mere fact that it passed unanimously should give you an idea about how well this is going to go. And the European Union actually passed a resolution in support of IMI. And this is incredible, because essentially that means that Iceland is leading the way and is doing so in such a way that the European superstate is taking notice and following. So it's kind of up to America now to follow. We need to pass resolutions here, locally, that make this a possibility, and nationally, that strengthen the things that our Constitution says very clearly, and redefine them so that they count in the digital age in a way that is absolutely without question. Because a lot of people like to pretend that there's a moral panic around the internet. So if you'd like, when you see information on WikiLeaks, print it out and hand it to someone, and then it's a newspaper. It's not different, except that it can't be stopped. You can't force collaboration. I like the New York Times a lot. But did you know that they sat on the information that Bush was doing warrantless wiretapping for a year until the election passed? What? It's unbelievable, right? That is the type of collaboration that I don't want to see anymore. So, you've got to be the trouble you want to see in the world, and you've got to be the change you want to see in the world. So, thanks to Iceland and the people of Iceland, we're going to see that in the future, and we're going to see a lot of things change. So, I want to skip around a little bit here. There's a lot of technical criticism and a lot of misdirection and a lot of misinformation. So I'm going to go through these things reasonably fast. And I know that some of you are getting a little antsy because your club mate is kicking in. So I'm going to answer a bunch of the questions and I'm going to address many of the criticisms that people have made. So first of all, there's been someone who has said that WikiLeaks was started by sniffing networks. And I'm going to say that that's not true right now, to make that a record, to make it very clear. WikiLeaks is an idea that has been going long, long before the Tor network even existed. So to say that is, of course, to show that not only does that person not have a fucking clue, but they're actually provably wrong. Furthermore, they accused me as a Tor developer of having done this. And well, I really appreciate the idea that they think that I would be such a terrible person. And by appreciate, I mean I don't appreciate that, actually. Tor is privacy by design. That means me being a Tor developer is totally irrelevant to the situation. I write some software. It gets put into our Git repository. In no way does that information help. The nodes that are exiting from the Tor network are not controlled by me. If I run an exit node, that has nothing to do with whether or not I'm a Tor developer. But I can state that I do not and have not sniffed the Tor network, and certainly not for documents. And WikiLeaks was absolutely not started by sniffing the Tor network. So hopefully that's clear. And hopefully no more shady rag publications on the web will state that. Because it's quite clear that some of them like to email 4 hours before they publish a story and expect a comment on Pacific Standard Time, which is not exactly an ethical thing to do. So they can refer to this video, which is now probably going to be public quite quickly. And specifically the documents that they said were leaked. So So that's really important, right? Those went through our normal submission process. Anyway, Cryptome. Some of you know about this, about John Young. I think that John Young is probably a pretty good guy. I've never met him. I'd love to meet him someday. Oh, fantastic. Well, today's not the day for him. But it's really important to note, he is doing something very good, but it is not the same as what WikiLeaks is doing. In fact, when he publishes information that is provably and clearly false, that's not really so good at information vetting. And I think that that's kind of a shame when that happens. So I'd just like to say that, with all due respect, he's incorrect. There's a pretty funny thing that's been on there recently, and I just like to address it as pure comedy gold. The WikiLeaks insider. Whoever you are, I imagine that you're either in the audience or watching it on the stream or watching this video later, it is incredibly amusing, fantastically wrong. The things that you're saying are incorrect. And just to show the rest of you guys, here's some tips for the insider. Just like so you can correct your insider writing, so we can have a continued morale boost. We would like them to be a little funnier, if you could maybe step up the humor a bit, but get a couple basic facts right. Julian, as someone who has spent many a night sleeping in a hotel room about 5 feet from Julian, I can tell you he does not live a life of luxury. Whoa, man, that guy in his socks. But there's an insider tip for you, right? He does not live a life of luxury in South Africa. In fact, as far as I know, and as far as Julian has told me, he's never actually been to South Africa. Now, I know Africa is a large continent, and it's not a country. So, in case this is not clear, I don't know if the insider is Sarah Palin or not, but I do think that it's quite clear, to me at least, that that fact is wrong, very, very clearly. Kenya is actually in Africa also, but it is, again, not South Africa. South Africa is a country. Okay, so the non-profit in Germany that does help us quite a bit, that does a lot of funding and takes donations, they keep records. They show quite clearly that Julian does not buy business class plane tickets. And well, I travel about 150,000 miles a year, and some of that is in coach, and it is not necessarily the most comfortable. That's sort of the cost that we take, you know? Like, it takes a toll, but we do it. And all of us involved at WikiLeaks very clearly cares enough to be stuck in cattle class to make this happen, right? And we do that. I think that's totally reasonable, and we have records that show it. So when you say otherwise, you have to back that up with some serious, serious proof. And it's pretty, I think, despicable to see otherwise. And no one at WikiLeaks takes a salary. This is really important, right? I work a full-time job with Tor, and that's what I've dedicated my life to. And Julian and other people have worked for their whole lives to be in a position to be able to tell the truth and to take a stand for other people and to say that we are somehow ripping people off is ridiculous. And it requires a statement of credibility, which the WikiLeaks insider does not have. So, you guys have a special role. Each one of you has a set of skills. We have a lot of information. We want your help processing it. We specifically would like people that are good at visualizations, people who maybe are good at banner hangs, people who like to paint pictures. Whatever you want to do, however you want to tell stories, that can be extremely useful to us and to the rest of the world. Everyone will see the visualizations that you have done. Millions of people. You're not going to get a great job out of it. You're going to have to do it in your spare time. You're going to have to get rid of all your spare time, actually. But it will make a huge impact, because when people interact with complicated data, they have this totally new relationship to that data, right? They have the ability to, like, look at the data and explore the data, and it engages them in a way that previously they just wouldn't have even cared. So this is, I think, extremely, extremely important, because it engages. That's something that we really need, is people to be sincerely engaged. So, especially since this is a hacker conference, I think that this is important. If we build systems that are privacy by design instead of privacy by policy, if we build protocols that are extremely difficult to filter, I know that there are people that work on this here, that this is really useful because not every country enjoys the warrantless wiretapping surveillance that we do. Some people enjoy the warrantless wiretapping plus serious oppressive police force kicking down their door in response instead of just building large dossiers that are used later. So, building protocols that can help avoid people leaving behind a footprint now can make a big difference tomorrow. Because the story that your data trail tells about you might not matter to you now. But when you film someone doing something and then you upload it and the sensor data from your camera is used as a weapon against you and it's found by finding photos on Flickr that you took of your family, that's a really serious problem. So we need tools, like for example, to find and fingerprint sensor data and to remove it. There's a lot of stuff. Lots of anti-forensic stuff needs to be done to protect whistleblowers. And we need help from that. You should focus your activities there. We can really use that help, and you will make a difference. You personally might save a life. And this is probably the most important part. Every single one of us is a productive member of society in some point in our lives. We get to choose which world that we make. So we get to decide if we go home and work for a military defense contractor, or if we go home and we work on something that shows that some of those people do the right thing and some of them do not. And we refine our society, not by specifically saying that all of those people are bad, but by saying some of these actions are bad. These are the actions that I can support, that I can put my name on, but these ones I don't, because I firmly believe this job is something that needs to be done. So this is something I think that we get to choose. And since we build the systems of tomorrow, we are the ones that get to decide the politics of those systems. The architecture is the political system, right? The internet is so amazing, specifically because it is so open and it is so free. So, how many here are upset about our submission system? Some of you? Any of you? One person. Fantastic. I hope you aren't a leaker. Keep your hands down. Okay. There's this funny thing that happens. I mean, if WikiLeaks does anything, there are publications that just jump up and down on us, usually because we make them irrelevant, but that said, they get really upset. So, to be clear, sometimes things happen that are not obvious. The security of our systems is more important than fighting a PR war with people that can't bother to ask properly contextualized questions in a reasonable time. So, we have relaunched the submission site. There you go. This has a new SSL certificate, and there is a Tor hidden service. So, for those of you that were worried about submission, for those of you that wanted to leak documents, it's back. So everyone should take a photograph of that hidden service URL, and I'll leave it up for a moment. These are the fingerprints. As some of you know, certificate authorities, well, they do a noble job, are part of a system that isn't really sustainable when the threat model might include large governments and large corporations. Sometimes people in different countries end up in situations where they have to use a copy of an operating system where all the certificate authorities are removed except for one so that they can be man in the middle transparently. This is a very serious issue. So the only way that we can do this is to solve it with key exchange pretty much directly. If you use the submission process, this is the set of fingerprints you should expect to see from now on. And that means that while the certificate authority can give you warm fuzzies, this slide is what will save your ass. So take some photos of it, put it online, tag it, and spread it around. Because someone somewhere is going to need to see that. And that's a way you can make a difference right now. Okay, so we've got a wiki. Some of you heard about it. We decided to clean out a lot of stuff. Old accounts that are, say, a year old and that aren't being used, old content, silly vandalism from kitties pissing on it. We removed that stuff. And there's a lot of progress on updating the wiki, making it faster, dealing with things that are extremely important is, of course, coming first, but in general, we do try to take care of this and we do some house cleaning. And we've got some cool stuff coming up. So, for example, BitTorrent and Magnet links specifically for all of the content. So you don't just have to rely on us. You can toss up a BitTorrent client and you can pretty much be us. How awesome is that? It also means that we'll have, feel free if you want. It also means that we will have dynamic URL support, but there's a little bit of a problem. We need some people to write some support in some of the clients. So if you work on BitTorrent, here's a great thing that you can do today. We need to make sure that dynamic magnet URLs are working, and they work pretty well. So this is something that will allow you to download on a regular basis, for example, all of the documents containing everything to do with the United States. And then you can do that however you'd like, and then you can mirror that data in case, you know, a rainy day comes. So we've also done a bunch of other things. It's really hard to actually tell what we have done. It helps to have a lot of hackers on board that can obfuscate a little bit of our architecture. But I think it's important to sort of state quite clearly, we have a lot of redundancy involved, and we have a lot of work that has gone into making sure that it's not exactly obvious how it is redundant, so that it makes it a lot harder to attack. And we don't really have to worry about that. We don't see a lot of things that are terribly scary. To be quite honest, the scariest things that we see are usually the content of submissions. And that stuff can be quite scary, and you know, because you've seen that. So there's going to be a period in time when commenting will return, and probably at some point you'll see more enhanced Tor support with the wiki. IRC, there is, of course, a way for you to come and chat directly with people involved with WikiLeaks. There are some privacy protections that are built into this system, and they are pretty simple. So if you're just sitting in there idling wanting to collect information and logs, it's not really that helpful. We would appreciate it if you don't do that, but in any case, you can see that there are some things that will start to hide a little bit of information at a time. It's not perfect, but we think it's pretty good. It's a little better than just straight up IRC. And we have other user protections so that people can't, say, demask who you are very easily. And of course, we are launching a new web chat interface, which also will be secured, which I think is pretty fantastic. So we've also today, as of, what time is it? I guess it's probably after one. So this, there's now a blog. Because we want to be more transparent and open with you guys. We want to make sure that you have questions that are answered, quite frankly. We want to make sure that you understand that we are on your side. Right? We don't want to fight. We don't want to have a misinformation campaign going on forever. It takes up our energy and it takes up our time. Very easy. So you don't just have to look at Twitter in order to see this. There'll be a blog which people will write to. Some people won't ever write to it, and they'll just do work behind the scenes. But it's extremely important that we tell you what's going on, because whenever we do anything, when we take down the submission site to make sure that there are some new things that can be launched, we need to make sure that we let you know about it so that it doesn't cause a huge problem in the media, where we have to take a lot of time away from doing important work to talk to people that are not going to be very helpful, and in some cases are quite hostile. So, we also want to sort of step into Web 2.0. We are going to release an API, so you'll be able to get the data in a more usable way. So you'll be able to do the things that you want with the data. You'll be able to make visualizations. It'll be much, much easier. Okay, so some miscellaneous technical details. I guess some of you guys are more interested in this than all of the leaks and things like that. You want to know how we run a system like this. Basically, compartmentalization. That's the key, right? You want to make sure that things are compartmentalized. It's absolutely imperative that we have a situation that when we involve a new person, they don't have access to everything. Think about the content that we're dealing with, and then you instantly understand why that is a necessity. So when we get new people involved, you might get access to a system at some point. And when you get access to that system, it will be a very small sliver of access. And you'll have to work in a way that shows that it is not possible for you to betray us. I think that's totally reasonable. What do you guys think? Awesome. Inch by inch, right? So, more horsepower. We've got a lot of servers driving a lot of things, and it's working out relatively well. I think that it's, in fact, extremely important for making sure that these things are going to stay up, and they're going to be able to do their job. Collateral Murder was hosted on a new architecture, and, of course, very few people noticed that because it went off without a hitch. There was no question, it just worked. But there were very special improvements to make that possible. But if you do find a problem, I have an idea. This is a novel one. Some journalists out there and other publications that shall not be named, quite frankly, they, instead of dropping into IRC, which might be too difficult for them to use, or sending an email in a reasonable amount of time, they don't do those things. So you can do that instead. If you notice, or you have a monitoring system, and you want to toss it up and you want to monitor the system a little bit in a not too invasive of a way, we would totally love to hear from you, right? We can use your help. If you see something wrong, you see something that has expired, or you see some piece of information that has changed, if you see a certificate that's being manned in the middle by an ISP, if you see that you can't reach the site, let us know. Chances are, if you can't reach the site, you can use Tor to reach the site, and then you can isolate the network problem, and you can figure out who's doing what. And of course, we want to basically take the information that we have that is in the wiki, and we want to move it into sort of more interesting forms of being. So that's something that we're very much working on, and we think that the wiki is extremely important, but we also think that there's something more than that. So it's going to change some bit in the future. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Tor. Have you all heard about that enough by now, I guess? Okay. You've all heard of Tor, right? Okay. First, as a developer, allow me to apologize for being sometimes slow. I'm sorry. As I said in the Tor talk yesterday with Seth, I don't know how fast you want to die, but we need to do it securely. That's the first and most important thing. There are people who use this software in every country of the world, and some of them use it because that is their threat model. So we want to make sure that it is privacy, security, and anonymity by design, not speedy for BitTorrenting. There are VPNs for that. So I'm sorry that it isn't faster, but it works, and it works pretty well. So WikiLeaks really supports Tor, and that means that sometimes they run servers. It means sometimes they make sure that some systems are accessible, like specifically over Tor. For example, the submission system. That submission system that is a .onion is one that if you have some concerns, that's definitely the best one to use. It'll be very, very difficult for someone to know or to tamper with. It's end-to-end encrypted, right? The .onion URL, in fact, is a cryptographic key. So if you have that right URL, you have end-to-end encryption that assures that you are talking to WikiLeaks, and those keys are extremely protected. And I think that that is the right thing for you to use if you want to. And of course, every document being available over Tor is something that we feel very strongly about. We especially support people using Tor to reach WikiLeaks. That is extremely important as well, because not everybody has the right to visit that site. And not everyone wants to tie themselves to having visited that site. And well, many of you might be supporters vocally, some of you might only be supporters inside. So use an anonymization system so that you don't have to taint yourself if you don't want to. And of course, there's a lot of development that needs to happen. For example, Tor uses TCP connections between all of the other Tor nodes. That means that all of the circuits and connections are multiplexed between single TCP connections. And we're working on some alternate designs, potentially UDP with DTLS and using SCTP on top of that, which means that we would have an ability to do better flow control and it would allow us to not have so many bottlenecks. But in order to do that, we need some badass developers. And Tor, of course, is at some times, and especially right now, hiring. So if you want to quit your corporate job and come work at the very best free software company to save the world, well, we're looking for some help. So, if you don't want to quit your job, and you're enjoying it just fine, we could also use some more relays, and especially exit relays. And if you're worried about abuse, limit it so that it can only exit to WikiLeaks if that's what you want to support. You can send a very strong message, and you can help a great deal. Because anonymity is required not just for our sources, but also many of our readers. So you can be part of the solution on that. I think Julian would probably end with something, I think, that is, I would guess, a little more inspiring. He would say something in his typical Australian accent and flop his blonde hair around and smile a lot. But I will just say this, which is that we don't know anything without knowing about history. These leaks that we've been talking about, they are the guidebook for the future, because they're not written to coerce. They're not written for someone to manipulate your opinion. These are written specifically as inside documents that tell you how these organizations work. I tell you about events that occurred. It lets you know what's actually going on. And when you piece these documents together, it allows you to know what the future will know about history. It will pave a road that we can walk on as a human culture, not as nation-state isolated people, not as people that are grouped into good and bad, but what everyone can learn. The progress of science is because people came before us and made painstaking efforts to understand the way that the world worked. And so we have to do the same thing with historical records, not just with scientific knowledge. Although it's important to move journalism in the direction of science by making sure that they have a citation, right? We've all seen the XKCD comic that talks about citation needed. Well, this is really important that we hold journalists to this. When they say, some source says this, sometimes there's a need for anonymity, that's quite clear. But when they say, many of their critics say this thing, sometimes we look that up. We look up who the critics are. And it's usually like one person on one blog somewhere searched for 6 hours to find. So they should cite that, so that people know that that statement is about as credible as it isn't, actually. So I understand that there is a little bit of tension about the fact that we're not always the best to respond. We have limited resources, and you can only imagine the amount of contact that we get. IRC is probably a little bit better, because it means that people are constantly reading it. But it's very obvious that while some of you want to do the right thing, there are a few people, a few bad apples, that want to do the wrong thing. And so we have to be very, very careful about who we let in, because we have things that, quite frankly, could mean the difference between life and death. And so please be patient with us, because we want to work with you. We have to work with you. We need your help. But we can't always be there and respond instantly. So don't be upset if you send us an email and you don't get a response 5 minutes later. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it might take weeks, because there are things that are going on inside that just quite simply we can't drop, no matter how much help. It is much easier if you say, I can offer 10 gigabits a second, mail me a box, no hassle, no problem, than it is if you say, well, tell me about your requirements, and what do you need, and so on, and we have to take a lot of time. So if you've got that, do the first, not the second. And if you don't have the ability to do the first, please don't do the second. Wait until you're able. And of course, this is probably the most important. If you just work on the things, like, I see there's some Noisebridge people in back, like Steen back there, who's really into visualizations. Work on things for large-scale data sets for visualizations, like he's doing. I mean, he has nothing to do with this, but the fact that he has inspired us to think about the fact that visualizations like that can really make a big impact. And that is something that, if you just work on that, your work speaks for itself. And we can help to direct you a little bit, but you can direct yourself. Your creative tasks, the way that you work, will be extremely powerful. And of course, it's really important that you make it public, and especially if you can release source code. And source code is very helpful because it allows us to make sure that you're not sending us, for example, a binary that when we run, it does something kind of nasty. I mean, we all know how to use IDA Pro, but we don't want to waste our time doing that, right? Send us source code and show us that you want to work with us. And I'd like to emphasize this phrase, think globally, hack locally. So if each one of you thinks about the impact you'll have on the world, go home, work in your communities. Change the world by changing the people around you, by changing the situation around you, and you'll do amazing things. There's no question. So you can enable people to speak freely right now by running a Tor relay. Every single one of you that has a computer can install Tor and check a single box. And when you do that, you will grow the network. There are currently 2,000 Tor relays or so in the world. There are more than 2,000 people at HOPE. If every person at Hackers on Planet Earth stops making excuses and starts making a difference, you will double the size of the Tor network. That's incredible. If you do that, you will make a measurable impact. And so, together, we will make a gigantic change in the world. So, I want to make it clear that we're extremely thankful. So thank you very much for your time. And thank you for your legal support and your donations and your help and your ideas. One last thing. We would like to show you, and I know some of you are antsy to go, and that's fine, but we would like to show you something important, which is the video in question. So if you can stomach it, if you can handle to think about the things that we've all funded, I'd like you to sit through and watch this video. And it's going to play for you, and I'd like to thank you again for your time. And I hope to see all of you again very soon, maybe 17 minutes from now. And I hope that all of you will still be here after the video plays. And think about how you can make a difference in the world. And then don't just think about it, do it.
Apologies, it's going to take just 1 minute to load it up.
Came out of this, the built-in.
Yeah, it shouldn't be coming out of the built-in.
Did you get it in the front hole?
Yeah.
That's the one.
I didn't hear it. Did it come out of the front? Good? Okay, let's see something.
more that keep walking by, and one of them has a weapon.
Roger, receive, Carter.
See all those people standing down there?
Step by the back door. Roger. Hey, firm. Can open the courtyard.
Yeah, Roger. I just estimated there's about 20 of them.
English Miss Delvin, combat white 6. That's a weapon.
Yeah. Hotel 2-6, straight yours,
1-8. I will call for a change by Charlie McBrown.
Speed 3-7.
Combat white 6, English Miss Delvin, Charlie McBrown.
Fucking break.
Hotel 2-6, straight yours, 1-8. Have individuals with weapons.
Bandage 1-4, radio.
We have Bandage 1-4.
Yep, he's got a weapon too. Hotel 2-6, Crazy Horse 1-8, have 5 to 6 individuals with AK-47s. Request permission to engage.
Roger that. We have no personnel east of our position. So, you are free to engage, over.
Alright, we'll be engaging.
Roger, go ahead. I can't get them now because they're behind that building.
Hey, but that's Elman.
Call back. RPG.
Alright, we got a guy with an RPG.
I'm gonna fire.
Okay, hold on. Let's come around. Let's go. Let's come our point of view.
Roger, yeah, we're gonna come around. Let's get all RPG. Ready to fire? We won't get.
Yeah, we got a guy shooting. Now he's behind the building.
Roger, I'm
gonna speed. Come around.
He was right in front of the Brad. About there, 1 o'clock. Haven't seen anything since then.
Just fucking, once you get on, just open up.
Yeah, Roger. I see your element. You got about 4 Humvees out along this.
You're clear.
All right, firing.
Line here. With the stage line,
let me know when you get it. We'll shoot. Light them all up.
202 traffic, 260.
Come on, fire.
Hey, Roger.
Keep shooting. Keep shooting.
Bushmaster 2-6. Bushmaster 2-6. We need to move time now.
All right, we just engaged all 8 individuals. Yeah, we got 2 first. We're still firing.
Roger. Got him.
2-6, this is 2-6. We're mobile. We got this.
Oh, fuck, sorry. Well, it's done.
God damn it, Scott. I'm sorry.
All right. Hit him. I hit him. Alright, you're clear.
Alright, I'm just trying to find targets again.
Master 6, this is Big Master 2-6.
Got a bunch of bodies laying there.
Alright, we got about 8 individuals.
Yeah, we got one guy crawling around down there, but we could definitely get some. We're shooting some more.
Better. Hey, you shoot, I'll talk. Hotel 2-6, Crazy Horse 1-8.
Crazy Horse 1-8, this is Hotel 2-6, over.
Roger, currently engaging approximately 8 individuals, KIA, RPGs, and AK-47s.
Hotel 2-6, you need to move to that location once Crazy Horse is done, and get pictures, over.
Chaya.
Sergeant 20 is the location.
Hotel 2-6, Crazy Horse, 1-8.
Oh yeah, look at those dead bastards.
Nice. 2-6, Crazy Horse, 1-8.
Negative radio, Spear 02 in flight, 3 chain zone 4 this time.
Spear 02, 3 chain.
Nice. Let's shoot.
Thank you.
Hotel 2-6.
Hotel 2-6, Crazy Horse, 1-8.
Crazy Horse 1-8, Bushmaster 7, go ahead.
Yeah, Bushmaster 7, Crazy Horse 1-8, location of bodies, Mike Bravo, 5458-8617.
Hey, even on the region, that's good.
5458-8617, over.
It's Crazy Horse 1-8, that's a good copy. They're on a street in front of an open courtyard with a bunch of blue trucks, a bunch of vehicles in the courtyard.
One guy moving down there, but he's not going
to
work.
To, the south.
All right, we'll let him down so they can hurry up. Get over here.
It's 1-8. We also have one individual appears to be wounded, trying to crawl away.
Roger. We're going to move down there.
Roger. ceasefire. We won't shoot anymore. Does he have the weapon on his hand?
No, no, I haven't seen one yet.
So you guys got that guy crawling right now on the curb?
Yeah, I got him. I put two rounds near him, and you guys are shooting over there too, so we'll see.
Yeah, roger that.
Bushmaster 36 Allen, this is Hotel 27, over.
Hotel 27, Bushmaster 7, go ahead.
Roger, I'm just trying to make sure that you guys have my turb, over.
Roger, we got turb.
Come on, buddy.
I got to pick up a weapon.
Bushmaster 5, Bushmaster 4, break. We're right below you, right time now. Can you walk us on to that location, over?
This is 2-6, roger. I'll pop flares. We also have one individual moving. We're looking for weapons. If we see a weapon, we're going to engage. Now, Bushmaster, we have a van that's approaching and picking up the bodies. Right down there by the body.
Okay, yeah.
Bushmaster, Crazy Horse, we have individuals going to the scene, looks like possibly picking up bodies and weapons.
To be engaged.
Hey, we need to stop that. We get down there. We need to
stop.
You see my
Roger. Break. Crazy Horse 1, 8, you request permission to engage.
I'm picking up the wounded. Yeah, we're trying to get permission to engage. Come on, let us shoot.
Bushmaster, Crazy Horse 1-8.
You're taking him.
Bushmaster, Crazy Horse 1-8.
It's Bushmaster 7, go ahead.
Roger, we have a black SUV, or a bongo truck, picking up the body. Request permission to engage.
Bushmaster 7, roger. It's Bushmaster 7, roger, engage.
1-8, engage. Clear.
Come on.
You got any BDA
on that truck, over?
Your car. This is, Crazy Horse, stand by.
I'm shooting for some reason.
Go ahead.
I think the van's disabled.
Go ahead, shoot it.
I got an azimuth limit for some reason.
Oh, left. Clear left. Bushmaster, Crazy Horse, 1-8. A vehicle appears to be disabled. There was approximately 4 to 5 individuals in vehicle moving bodies. Your lead, Bradley, should take the next right. That's cruising east down the road. I'm on shoot.
Crazy Horse, Bushmaster 4. We're moving a inbound element straight south from the Bradley.
I have your Bradley element turning south down the road where the engagements were.
Last call on station is Bradley element, say again.
Roger's Crazy Horse, your lead Bradley just turned south down the road where all the engagements happened. Should have a van in the middle of the road with about 12 to 15 bodies.
Oh yeah, look at that, right through the windshield.
Alright,
there was 4 to 5
individuals in that truck, so I'm coming about
12
to
15.
That's a fairly accurate assessment so far.
No, roger that.
I wanted to be by 6 again.
Roger, we'll be standing by here.
Crazy Fox to the radio.
Yes, right, but right to departing from 208 for Strong 4, we call frequency change.
Yeah, I just drove over a body.
Viper 5, 2 report, free change, zone 4.
Major is a visual.
Frequency change.
Yeah, I just drove over a body.
Yeah. Viper 5, 2 report, free change, zone 4.
Hey, I need to get the rat, the brass to drop rats. I got a wounded girl. We need to take the rest of my ass.
Bushmaster 7, Hotel 26, do you want us to move to your location, over?
Flight, free change zone 1.
02, free change crew, zone 1.
Bushmaster 6, Hotel 26, over.
Hotel 26, this is Bushmaster 7, roger, come to our location.
Okay, roger, we're moving up north on Gaddens, and then we will push east to your location.
For zone 4, en route, zone 311, we'll call arrival.
Crest of 20, Commando 89 is active. Port arrival 311.
20.
Magnet radio, Crest of 34 is off zone 208 for zone 1. Call for change.
Crest of 43 zone. Correction. Crest of 34 zone 30 is closed. Report for change zone 1.
Roger, that's negative on evac and the two civilian kids to Rusty. They're going to have the IPs that link up with us over here break. Now IPs will take them up to a local hospital, over.
That's your copy, over.
After that, I'll let you tell.
It's their fault for bringing their kids to a battle.
That's right.
North to
south, engage with Hellfire.
Okay, I got it.
Roger. Break. Crazy Horse 1-8, request permission to engage.
You're picking up the wounded. Yeah, we're trying to get permission to engage. Come on, let us shoot.
A Bushmaster, Crazy Horse 1-8. Bushmaster, Crazy Horse 1-8.
Okay, I got it.
Last calling station, Hotel 26.
Then Roger, we'll be standing by here.
Bastards.
seeing the PDF PowerPoint with a big talk about the truth is inspiring. Somehow there's a different message when you watch this type of truth. I'd like to join in a round of applause for Jacob Ackvoldbaum. I have a few announcements right now for some schedule changes. Jacob decided to take the opportunity to leave us for the rest of the day. He wanted to thank you again for your attention and hope that his words had a desired effect. Let's talk about some practical issues. One practical issue, you might have heard of Bradley Manning. There are postcards at the table for No Starch Press in the mezzanine. If you'd like to write a short message of support to Bradley Manning, they will be stamped and mailed for you. That's the No Starch Press area in the mezzanine vendor table area. It's on your map of the programs. The other practical thing is we had originally scheduled some lightning talks for this time. Because the three rooms, the overflow rooms, were fully engaged with this talk, we decided not to have the lightning talks now. We will reschedule lightning talks for 5 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday. We had a talk cancellation, 5 p.m. Sunday lightning talks. That's in the Loveless Room next door. So you can plan on that, and we'll announce it a few other times during the day. Last announcement, as you might have noticed in the program, we had scheduled this room for 2 hours. We had scheduled the other rooms for 1 hour. This is logic. Thank you for your attention in the main room, also the overflow rooms. Also, we have this streaming out to the mezzanine level. Because we're basically on time in this room and an hour behind in the other rooms, we're going to switch the schedule. And again, we'll keep announcing this. So all of the talks in the two rooms that I'm not in, the Bell Room and the Loveless Room, will be pushed back an hour. So the talk that was supposed to begin at 2 will begin at 3. The talk was supposed to begin at 3 will begin at 4, and so forth. This means Robert Steele's going to be a little later. We think he likes that. We'll see what happens. So it's about 7, 8 minutes towards 3 o'clock. We'll go ahead, bring the lights up, get the room set. Speakers for the 2 o'clock in the other rooms, please report. And we'll get started again at the crack of 3 with an hour delay in the other two rooms. And thanks again to Jacob. Thanks for your attention. And you can download this video from YouTube. Oh, I'm sorry, I have one additional announcement. Thanks. Ted, who's doing all the recordings of the DVDs out back, we had a audio failure yesterday in the Loveless Room for the first three talks. If you are recording audio or video, video is what we need, but you probably have both, please visit Ted. He's back in the DVD area there. This is for the first three talks on Friday in Loveless. That was the GPS talk. It's not the satellite, so know where you are. It was the vocational privacy, and it was also the content of the future. If you videotaped, audio taped those three talks, please visit Ted so we can get that onto the DVD for posterity. Okay, thanks everyone. Go ahead, change rooms, and we'll see you again at 3:00.